This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Maybe, yeah, I think I saw it somewhere. I mean, with the Astros off last night, very, very few major league games last night, and very little of anything else. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. We've got Roflo going to be joining us to talk about Yordan and the Astros trade deadline. We'll talk to him about those things. He's going to be in about 8:20 this morning, so you want to be here. We've got some funny soccer stuff going on, and we will talk about that as well, because there is some interesting things that they looked at, irregularities at the World Cup, and you go, that's interesting, the reason that happened, and so we will talk about that as well. But for the most part, if you guys want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 to talk about what the Astros ain't doing and what everybody else is done and doing here in the major leagues this trade deadline. Let's start with the soccer thing, Lance. I don't know if you saw this story, but there is a group, the findings of the group of Copenhagen, and they looked at all of the matches, all the tournament matches and the betting on all of it, and they came up with some irregularities. Here is the potential, the ones that they marked them yellow card and red card, and they had, I think, a dozen yellow cards, and they had these three red cards. The red card shown to South Africa's Themba Zwane in the 84th minute of his side's tournament opening game against Mexico. For some reason, this was something that they flagged as that was irregular and quite possibly had something to do with gambling. The American cryptocurrency-based prediction market Polymarket receiving $4.8 million on markets for Spain not to defeat Cape Verde in their group stage match. Remember that? How many people bet against Spain or the big money that came out?
I don't remember. I remember most people being on Spain. I don't remember.
No.
I never heard anything about people being on Cape Verde.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know if it was one guy or a group of people.
It was probably one guy.
But they had huge money on Spain not defeating Cape Verde, and it came through for them.
Now, I don't think I would be shocked if that were the masses. I mean, let's be honest. Cape Verde had it was their first time ever playing. They were playing against one of the favorites in the World Cup. The only thing that would have the reason that I can see somebody making that bet is that Lamine Yamal was hurt, and he came in as a sub late in that match. Nico Williams, I don't even know if he even came in that match. So, with no Lamine Yamal, maybe somebody took a shot because, you know, well, their most dynamic player isn't playing. But, yeah, I'd be hard-pressed for anyone to think that Spain, like, I don't know, I watched the whole thing. Spain just played the way they played, and the goalkeeper had a pretty good game for Cape Verde, as he did most of the time. I don't know. Some of this, all you do is just, I read a lot of it from The Athletic. It's just, all it does is just kind of start conspiracy theorists down the rabbit hole of whether or not these games were real. Like, I can see a red card in the 84th minute, which was the South with the South African penalty, red card, it draws attention because it's so late in a match. But you, although that was before you even get to PKs. So, you know, you have your extra time and that's it. So it's not like what difference was it really going to make?
It didn't. I don't think that there was going to
added time, not extra time, because it was a regular match. So it's just going to end in a.
Right.
Whatever the score, I don't remember what that score was.
But. I don't either, but Mexico.
Oh, no. Mexico won that.
Mexico won that.
Oh, well, wait. I remember that. And in a, but did they also flag the red card for Mexico?
They did not. They did not flag that one.
Okay, because that was a red card also that Mexico got. There was three reds, right? Dale, am I right? Is there three reds? South Africa had that red. This was an opening match. And then Mexico, the guy had a step over. It was pretty bad. I mean, I honestly don't. Some of the reds and yellows just for me feel almost like it's there's just such a great deal of interpretation of some of these fouls. Like Balogun stepping on that can be
he's involved in this as well. But the third one was the 3.5 minute delay from the video assistant referee. Disallowed a goal from Spain's Ferran Torres in its 4-0 win over Saudi Arabia. I don't know why that would be flagged because obviously that hit the over already, or maybe it was Ferran
maybe
Torres
it's just the amount
scores
of...
or doesn't score, whatever the reason.
Yeah, maybe
but
it's
that's
the amount
that
of time.
One, they flagged that one. They also flagged Will Fowler on July 2nd. Polymarket opened a market on July 2nd asking Will Fowler and Balogun play against Belgium, and that was open on the same day the U.S. forward was shown a red card, and that is the only one, that is the only market opened for 14 players who were shown a red card during the tournament. The only one was Fowler and Balogun, and it turns out that on the day that he got the red card, because there was talk afterwards, but that's interesting. Would he play? They opened up a market of would he play against Belgium, and sure enough, he did. Where they didn't open up that market for any other red card. That to me should be a red flag, a huge red flag.
Yeah, because that's the next stage. Will he play? Yeah, that's kind of how many guys got that same. Anyone else have that same?
14 red cards, and no one got that market open.
No one had that market open.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's interesting.
That's bizarre. Well, you know what? I think these prediction markets have – I think people have – it's pretty much a known thing that people have benefited millions off of oil prices and the war that there's been inside information leaked from the White House because the poly market has just – the amount of bets that have been made on price oil prices to – either spike or decline drastically has been huge bets have been made the same day Trump made announcements. Yeah. So everyone knows the prediction markets have a lot of insider trading.
Right. Well,
a tremendous amount.
He wears a lot of his thoughts on his sleeve. Do you know how much money was bet on this World Cup? That's what the group of Copenhagen is estimating.
I would have no idea. It's probably the most that's ever been bet in sporting
events. It was $120 billion in 2022 in Qatar.
Uh-huh.
$240 billion this World Cup.
Twice
double
the amount.
$240 billion.
Bet. Well, and the U.S. market is a much heavier betting market than other countries, and it comes to the U.S. and it's in the spotlight more. That makes some sense. You've got prediction markets now are available, which are huge. They're huge multipliers right now. Huge. If you see the numbers on this, which I'm familiar with the numbers because of if you keep up with stock prices for things like DraftKings and FanDuel, Flutter, all that stuff, they are getting pummeled because of the amount of valuations given to Polymarket and Kalshi. Like it's astonishing how much money these prediction markets are taking in. So that actually, it doesn't surprise me, it went up. It's pretty staggering to go 100% increase when it was $120 billion, at least projected, in 2022. That's pretty crazy. Another $120 billion? Wow. That's crazy.
A double. double mm-hmm. what it was last time. I think this might have been one of the more, maybe one of the more popular World Cups ever. I mean, for obviously the American market, you know, and how close we are to it. But this this seems to, all the numbers seem to be, and all the people that were here and everything else, it seems like it was one of the. And speaking of popular, okay, there is a kid, a 15-year-old kid that got a $3 million deal from Chelsea yesterday. Benji Flowers from FC Dallas. He is a youth winger for mm-hmm. FC Dallas. He got $3 million. He can't join Chelsea until he's 18 years old. But they've got him locked up with $3 million bucks right now. And he is going to be, when he turns 18, he gets to go to Chelsea. Now, Chelsea did this with somebody else. I forget who it was, but they did this with another young player. You cannot buy kids and put them on your team. They have to be 18 years old. So, and the deal is worth an initial $3 million. It could be up to $10
million. But it must just be from the States, because you can in other. There's players playing who are like 16, right? In the Premier League, Dale, that's not a rule. That's got to be a U.S. thing.
No, it's a league thing.
It is? The Premier League? You have to be 18 to play in the Premier League?
Apparently, you can't. Chelsea just paid Europe's. Chelsea, here's what it says. He signs a first team. Chelsea ran the same play with Kendry Páez in Ecuador at 16. Man City did it with Kevin Sullivan at 14. Apparently you cannot go. Well, you can buy them, but they can't play for you.
Players must be at least 15 years old to play.
You can be 15 and play, but the question is, does your club want to let you go? Because Sullivan isn't going only because his current club won't let him go to 15.
You can be 15, John, and play in the Premier League.
Yeah, so Kevin Sullivan, if his current MLS club would let him, he can go play for, if he was good enough, go play in the Premier League right now, but they are holding him to he's 18.
No, incorrect. Texas, he just paid $3 million for a 15-year-old in Texas who can't legally play for them until 2029. FIFA bans international transfers of minors. So Europe's richest club built a workaround, a futures market for teenagers. You cannot transfer you can't transfer minors.
Okay, so if you are English born, you can play.
Yeah, cuz there's 15-year-olds playing in England.
Yes, but they signed with them originally. See, he signed with FC Dallas.
Yeah, you're talking about, but this is an international transfer. Yeah, if you're in England,
no,
it's not an international
like that
transfer.
Premier League, but so Premier if you were born in London, you could play for Arsenal at 15, but if you're from over here, you have to wait.
Yeah.
Well, it's a FIFA. It's a FIFA thing.
It's FIFA. Right. So it's not a Premier League rule, because you can play. I knew it. And there was somebody in the Premier League last year that scored a goal that's under 18, because he did it against Everton.
Yeah, I'm sure he was English-born and started playing for his club.
Yeah, he originally signed with them, but you can't transfer him.
Yeah, well, I think you can transfer from club to club inside of England. You're talking about international transfers, which I had. That's probably a different rule, I guess.
Right.
Because the other player, you said, it's not an American, because you said the other player was from Ecuador or wherever you said he was from. So that's obviously a different one as well.
Well, that's an international transfer that couldn't go through either. Yeah. But there was video. I don't know why on my timeline, but I got a 12-year-old that is incredible.
I got it from Barca. It looks like Barcelona.
Is that it? I don't know.
Yeah, kid, great passes and everything. Yeah, great at the ball. Yeah, he's insane. So Max Dauman, that was the one. He became the youngest player to start in the Premier League at the age of 16 years of age this May. He started for. Can't remember who he plays for, but
it was Arsenal.
It was Arsenal, yeah. So Arsenal. So that's but if you're American, for the purpose of this conversation, so this kid, I've got his highlight reel up right now for Benji Flowers. He's one of, there's a few. You talked about the other one that's playing in, where, Germany, Dell?
I don't know where he's
Cavill
playing.
Or whatever his name is. That's another one who's 16 years old. So we got some. We got some guys. Stop acting like we don't have guys. We've got some football players who are now. And Tyreek Hill has no power in his left leg, so maybe he moves to soccer.
Maybe he does.
He can't push off of it, but he said he's on a great track to come back. So I guess that's a good track. Said he has no power in his left leg after the horrific incident that he was told may prevent him from ever walking again. And he's working out again, but doesn't sound like football will be in the cards for him this year.
Did that woman ruin his leg?
No, no, he got hurt on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, he did it himself.
Oh. I thought she ruined his leg. Yeah, that's a
no.
Oh, no, he broke her leg. He ruined her leg.
Sued him because she got hurt.
Yeah, she got hurt. Her leg hurt. Right. Yeah, exactly.
He's bodying women at his house for
trying to press him. Well, she was locking him up in man coverage, and you go, okay, now I got to be serious. And apparently he invited some woman who he saw at some youth football camp to his house. And, hey, you want to watch me work out before we do whatever we're going to do? She goes, sure, I'll watch that. And then she was out there, and he said, or at least she said, he was upset with me because I was locking him down. And then he went really serious, and that's how I got hurt.
I just don't see her locking him down. I saw the pictures of her. I just don't see it. I don't know. Her account of the story just doesn't. There's something that's missing.
I wouldn't surprise me if Tyreek Hill knocked somebody down because he was pissed off at her.
Yeah.
Now locking him down, nobody does. But if you're familiar, but he does this a lot. Like in his clinics, he'll have kids beat him off the prey. He'll try to cover him, and then kids beat him in routes, and he's like, "Oh, you know, like this little kid ain't beating him in a route." Mm-hmm. Clearly, it's a little gimmick that he does to make the kids feel good. He probably did that with her. She probably started talking. He's like, "Excuse me,
that's what you do." No, it's not just to make the kids feel good. What they mom look like?
Well, yeah, but sure.
That with her on this one.
Well, you don't have the same taste as him, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance y'all don't have
She got her hands on him, didn't let him get off the line. That's all.
Yeah, maybe.
And then he was like, wait a minute. Now I really have to try to beat you off the line.
Because she started trash talking him.
Yeah, she gave
him
He's
like, what? You thought that was real?
She did the whole seatbelt lockdown thing in his face. And then he was like, all right, hold on. Now I got to go to work.
And then she hurt his leg.
He broke her leg, remember? We clarified that. His leg was broken, his knee was dislocated. Yeah, his ACL was torn in an NFL game.
Mine's a better story.
But we all saw what happened to him. It was a Jets-Dolphins game on Monday night, so maybe you didn't. But But his leg was pointing in the same ways that Tank Dell's leg was pointing.
Oh, yeah, that was bad. No, they didn't think he was going to walk again.
I don't feel like I'm hungry, but if I am hungry, I'd go to Taqueria Sorrentis right now.
Yeah. Well, it's you guys, it's 7:17 right now, so you're going to be headed into work. Why don't you stop on the way to work, and why don't you head on over to Taqueria Sorrentis? There's over 20 locations here in the Houston area, so if you're looking for a great breakfast, Taqueria Sorrentis has you covered. You just get something easy like breakfast tacos. There's a wide variety of standard breakfast tacos, ones with more authentic Mexican flavors are available for you. But those breakfast tacos, you pick up a sack of them, you're the man. You are on a Friday, before the weekend, you come in and surprise everyone with breakfast tacos. Oh, man, they're going to give you grace throughout the day. You're good. You are solid gold in your business, wherever you are. And if it's not that, why don't you and the fellas go out for lunch today to a Taqueria Sorrentis. I promise you this, very reasonably priced, and you're going to find all the authentic Mexican flavors that you have come to know and love from Taqueria Sorrentis. Of course, they've added a couple of Tex-Mex items on their menu as well. And great appetizers if you're looking for something lighter, you want to do your own happy hour there. They've got a ton of different margaritas, beers to choose from. But just know this, you're going to have a lot of fun for great prices and authentic Mexican flavors at Taqueria Sorrentis. 20 locations, over 20 in the Houston area. Go to TaqueriaSorrentis.com.
Okay, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I saw a predictor this morning, Lance, that had the Jags win in the division and the Colts. I don't know what I mean. I guess they go through 10 million different, or however many they go through, different seasons and different ways. And they had the Texans at 8-9.
What?
Yeah,
they had the Texans at 8-9.
Predictor, right? Yeah.
Okay.
and not making the playoffs. And well, they had the Jags win in the division. They had the Bengals at 13-4, which I gotta wait on that. I just
there's everyone looking.
I don't know why. I know that they picked up two defensive players this offseason, but this Bills thing is. I mean, this Bengals thing is a little out of control.
It's because I looked at maybe doing something like that with the Bengals because you know the Steelers aren't good, the Browns aren't good, and you look at the Ravens and think Ravens feel ripe for a fall off. I mean, it's kind of. We kind of saw signs of that last year. And if Lamar's not playing, they just...
Well, they have the Ravens in the playoffs.
Yeah, and even when... Well, they're... Yeah, okay. Well, and even when Lamar played, he really wasn't very good last year. And Derrick Henry's older. So I get the excitement of saying, hey, we got... Pittsburgh's got Aaron Rodgers, who's not the same guy. We got the Browns, who are the Browns. Ravens could be falling off. Bengals. They added... You know, if Joe Burrow can stay healthy. And
if Joe Burrow can
Dexter
stay
Lawrence, you got to add to Dexter Lawrence. I get why there's some excitement about the Bengals, but I'm kind of with you. I just can't jump on that train right now. Like, yeah. I ended up going Ravens winning the division on my predictions I had to make. And I can't remember how many wins. I think I gave the Bengals 9 wins. Maybe I may have given them 10 wins. I might have given them 10 wins. But, you know, this whole if Joe Burrow stays healthy thing. I mean, he's been hurt for 6 games or more in 3 of his 6 seasons.
This is from the Pro Football Network. Here's what's scary, I thought, to me a little bit, is your first 2 games are Bills and Bengals at home. Mm-hmm. And those are 2 teams that you beat. You beat the Bills in Houston. You just do. It's what you do. This iteration of Texans takes care of that business. And... You know, that's a hell of a starting game. Last year, you started 0-3, and everybody was and the sky was falling, and you just went on a run and kicked everybody's ass, and you were able to bounce back. But I, of all of the things, the Bills and the Bengals, who are predicted to be a really good team this year, those are 2 teams that you actually should win those games. Those are 2 teams that you went to Joe Burrow Stadium and beat Joe Burrow just a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got a late interception, which was... But, you know, that was a little surprising for that football team to do that, to go into with a Joe Burrow team. It wouldn't surprise me at all, though, that the Texans beat him here with the defense, with the crowd.
Right.
Well, we think the crowd will be on the Texan side. We hope the crowd will be on the Texan side. It would be... those. If you go 0-2... I mean, I look at it. I don't know about you, but I look at it. You should be 2-0 after those games.
Yeah, you should be. I'm used to the Texans not getting off the good starts.
That might be a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Them not getting off to if they get off to another slow start, now that's a trend.
Well, it's been. I mean, this has been an issue for them at different times during. You know, good dating. Of course, what happens with Gary Kubiak has no bearing on what happens with DeMeco Ryans. No, nobody's on the same team. They don't have the same media relations director. Don't have the same team president. Nothing's the same. Almost nothing's the same. Bob McNair versus Cal McNair. The ownership is different. Nothing's the same. So those historical, when you look at the historical stuff, it's interesting. But I've never, especially when I was handicapping, I never pieced together, well, they've got a long history. Okay, if you can somehow tie some type of reason why this continues to happen for one team, but when everything's different, I don't really care what's happened in the past. I just know that it happens that the Texans a lot of times get off to not good starts. But Buffalo and Cincinnati, those 2 games, while you're going to be favored in both games, well, no. No. The Texans are dogs against the Bills, right? Didn't we establish that? Because I was blown away.
And the Bengals are favored in almost all of their games. They're favorites. Even I don't know if it's here.
Well, the Texans aren't even the favorites, so I guess the Bills should beat them. So I guess that's not a big deal when the Bills beat them.
I don't think that they take into account history on that.
Well, that history is different.
Josh Allen against the Texans defense sucks.
I've been saying this. This is the dumbest line I've seen in years. Like in years. The Texans should be at least a 2.5-point favorite here. This is insane that the Bills opened as a favorite. I would be shocked if the Bills stay the favorite.
I think with this this thing is all, everything is skewed by CJ's playoffs. Everything, yeah. Every predictor for the Texans is, and they're not taking into account his regular season.
Yeah.
They're not taking into account the offensive line moves. Mm-hmm. They're not taking into account second year of Nick Caley, not the first. I just think the Texans are just so undervalued, or and yet I see other people. Texans are going to the Super Bowl.
Texans still 1.5 point underdogs at home to Buffalo. Just insane. That is Josh insane. Allen plays poorly against this offense. Like, this is, to me, this is like a handicapper's dream. You're getting points with the Texans at home with that defense against Josh Allen. Like, give me the points, and we'll put as big a play as I can put on him. That's highly.
And there are people out there going, are you guys idiots? Josh Allen's the best quarterback. No. Josh Allen, let's go look up his numbers. Idiots?
What did Josh,
at NRG.
What did Josh do against anybody who says that? I guess and first of all, congratulations that you got out of your coma. And I think, first of all, I'm happy for your family that you are out, that you're awake and you're alive, and that I know it was tough that you missed the last couple years or last 5 years that Josh Allen has played against the Texans defenses. But I do want to let you know that there's a guy named Davis Mills. And I don't know, when you were in your coma, I can't remember if, I don't know if you had seen Davis Mills play or not. But well, Davis Mills beat Josh Allen last year.
Is Davis Mills going to be, well, see, Davis that's the problem. Mills because Davis Mills Allen. Isn't going to start in that game.
He didn't even play well. No. He didn't even play well. That's the history. See, that's the other, the myth that Davis Mills played really well when he won those games.
He played well in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Davis didn't have these great games. It's kind of, people have rewritten history, have revised history, like Davis Mills was better than, look, I'm with you. Davis Mills just handing a ball off would have been better than C.J. Stroud doing what he did in the playoffs. But let's not get it twisted. Neither you nor I think Davis Mills should be playing ahead of C.J. Stroud.
No.
In a general sense.
I did tweet at halftime.
Yeah.
Of the playoff game.
Wouldn't have had any problem with him being replaced.
No.
No.
Davis Mills should have come in that
game. No problem with him because it wasn't working for CJ. So, but yeah, this is crazy to me. Buffalo being, they're still a favorite, 1.5 point favorite. I've got to think that betters, that the wise guys will snap this line off and make this either a pick 'em or Houston is a 1 point favorite by the time the game rolls around. I just don't see how you could like Buffalo in game one. With that said, Houston's the underdog, so maybe they lose that one. Then you got the Bengals at home, and the Bengals are a hot team for everybody. Maybe you lose that one.
I can't wait for the swarm in that game.
But even if you were to lose both of those games, you're at Indianapolis, which, you know, certainly is winnable. You got Dallas at home. You're at Tennessee. You got Jacksonville at home. You got the Giants at home. That's a great run. Those five games are a great run. That's why if you handle business in your first two, you got a legitimate shot at 7-0 before the bye week.
I'm not crazy about that.
Why are you worried about Jacksonville or New York coming to town?
No, Jacksonville's always a tough game. That's always a tough
game.
Okay,
but it's
and
at
going
home.
To Indy with a healthy is going to be tough. That's going to be tough.
Yeah. But only two of your first seven games are on the road.
But let's not forget the Texans do get off to slow starts.
They do, but you really can't afford to get off to anything worse than a 5-2. I mean, you can afford to. We saw it last year. I mean, last year showed whatever. If you can get on a long win streak, anything's possible. But really, your toughest two games are your first two, and you got them at home. Then you're at Indianapolis, which might be tougher than Cincinnati here. And Jacksonville here might be tougher than Cincinnati here, might be. But you're at Tennessee. You got the Cowboys here. I don't know. We'll see.
If they go 2-0 against those two teams, they're going to be – nationally, they are going to be it's going to explode for the Texans. They're going to have a lot of love if they go 2-0.
You don't think they're already getting a lot of love this year again? It feels like it's cranked back up again this year.
I don't know. I think that there are those, and then there's everybody else that's like CJ. Yeah, and you know, and I think. In large part, can you trust the question for the season is going to be, can you trust CJ? Because you want to talk about some pressure when this season is over. We haven't even started it. But when this season is over and you go into the playoffs, the pressure that CJ is going to have is going to be incredible. because of his playoff performances so far.
Well, he's brought that on himself.
Yes.
So there's nothing to do but conquer that.
It's going to be self-imposed. It's also going to be, there's going to be a lot of outside noise. There's going to be a lot of outside noise. So we'll see. 713-780-3776. Roflo going to join us. And don't forget, keep on listening here because we've got a way for you to get with us in Lake Charles at the DraftKings Sportsbook for our fantasy draft. And we want you to be part of our fantasy league, but you got to keep on listening, and we'll tell you how you can get on there in our league with us. But right now, we're taking a quick one. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.5.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Chandler Rome was on with Paul Gallant. And he actually just said about the same things that we've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
This is the summer of Jordan. Jordan ain't going nowhere. He's got 2 years left on his deal anyway. So there's no chance that he's going anywhere. Jeremy Pena, Chandler brought up. You might get more for him now. You might. But first of all, it's not Jim Crane's MO. He's never a seller. He said, as long as I'm owning the owner, we're always going to go for it. So that's not going to happen. It could be a Kyle Tucker situation where they trade him in the offseason. That's a possibility. Maybe you get more now, and maybe it's going to be very difficult to trade when there's a lockout. That might be very difficult to move anybody this offseason because of the uncertainty with what's going to happen, whether or not we're even going to have baseball. And when we do have baseball, it could be a truncated season. It could be very little time to move players, get them to new spots. And I don't know, maybe too harried to get a good deal. And then there's the Dana Brown situation. Do you want Dana Brown, a lame duck general manager, trading people? I just don't. I mean, not that you don't trust him, but is he going to do what's best for Dana Brown to win now? Or is he going to do what's best for the organization? Honestly. I mean, he and Joe Espada right now are dangling without contract extensions right now.
Yeah.
This is their last year.
Yeah, you can't, like, this is such a tough call because you got impending, it's almost a lock. There is going to be a lockout, no pun intended. Because the players don't want a salary cap, the owners aren't backing down, so there's going to be a long lockout. What happens with time of service for the players? Well, you know, we know that the trade deadline is going to be hot and heavy. Every year, you're right. Buster only talked about this. I've seen three different baseball analysts say the Astros could be the big winners if they really wanted to go in and attack. And the only two they really mentioned, no one's even mentioning Jordan, because we know Jordan would pull your entire minor league system. Like, you'd have to give us everybody you have and probably make
Has
good
player
major league
ever
players
been
too.
Traded in an MVP season?
I don't know. I mean, you would think not, but maybe I'd have to look at that.
I don't ever remember anything like that.
But I know this: if you traded for him, you gotta give up everything because he's got not only you have club control, you have a pretty friendly price tag. So all your base belong to us. Every one of your prospects, your top four, they're all coming. Whoever you got on a big league level that we want, you got them. We'll throw you another player. And that's what it's going to look like. But Jim Crane won't do that. And that's fine. Whatever. I mean, it is true, though. You would replenish immediately. The team that's best suited to do that are the LA Dodgers. Like it or not, they got a ton of minor league prospects. Not only do they have the best roster by far in Major League Baseball, they've got the most top prospects in the top 20, including in the top 10, that you have in Major League Baseball. It's not even close. Really good ones. They're all outfielders, too. Most of them. Top three or top four outfielders. Their fifth one is a shortstop. But look at this, John. Like, here's the deal. Jeremy Pena, Josh Hader, those are reasonable looks. you could reasonably say, now, would they hurt you this year? Absolutely, they would hurt you if you're the Houston Astros. But those guys would pull some, they pull some bang in here in terms of what you're looking to, you know, trading. I know Josh Hader has a little bit of a, you know, he's got a higher salary, but somebody's good, somebody would be willing to grab that for a closer who is a good closer.
Yeah.
And he's having a good year right now. Well, since he came back, I mean, he was injured, but Jeremy Peña, tremendous potential. Big guy with, you know, you'd still have another year left with Jeremy Peña, right? We'd have one more year, 22, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, one more year.
Yeah, one more year, 6 and a 7. So Jeremy Peña would pull a lot in. Yeah, if the Astros decided to do something, they would make out. They would do really well, but we just don't expect that to happen. Well, okay, we'll wait for Jeremy Peña like you did with Kyle Tucker. Wait until when? Because you're not going to have a season next year, at least not for the first few months. You won't. So I don't know how that works. I really don't know how that works. And then the second question is, you really want Dana doing this? Like, Dana Brown has shown, whatever you think of him, in terms of if whatever job you think he's done, I don't – Cam Smith for Kyle Tucker, that's fine. Cam Smith was up the – you had 1 year left on Kyle Tucker from a – so you lose leverage every year that you lose of club control. But Cam Smith was considered a pretty good prospect from the Cubs. He was ranked up there pretty highly. So, you know, I was happy when he got that. Hadn't really worked out up to this point, but it hasn't hurt you that you haven't spent a bunch of money on Kyle Tucker. That guy sucks right now for the Dodgers. I mean, sucks. But I don't want him doing anything. My guess is for sure a new GM will be in place. And I don't know, maybe a new manager? Maybe.
Maybe.
You would think that they'd be swept out, but I mean, the argument could be made. My dad was making this argument to me the other day. Like, why? But I just don't understand why you would get rid of Joe Espada. He said Joe Espada has done a pretty good job with what he's had. I'm like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fine. I don't know that this team, I don't feel like, so you feel like Joe Espada is going to be better than anyone else you can get? I never have that feeling. A lot of times when you want to make a switch, you want to hit reset, you change manager and GM same time.
Yeah, when you're going into the last year, Jim Crane just said, you guys got to go prove it. And so far, they haven't proven it. This pitching offseason for Dana has been a disaster. It's been a disaster. Other than Peter Lambert, it's been just unbelievably bad. So, I don't know that the faith is there. Is the faith there when you go into a season and say, this is the last year of your deal? You just play it out. Just run it out, and we'll see. And, you could certainly see where that. And we'll see whether or not my predictor is right on the general manager thing. We will see. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us on ESPN 97.5. Before we break, did you see Matt Fries made his debut for Columbus last night, the goalie for the U.S. team? He got booed.
Did he really?
Yes. Somebody put out.
Man, that's too
bad. He was booed. Now we're a proper football country. Dell, is that true?
When your goalie for your national team has a blunder like that and his club team, the fans boo him, or just general soccer fans boo him, yeah, we're a proper soccer playing country.
Now we're getting it.
Yeah.
We're finally getting it.
When that transitions, you're the guy who was absolutely awful and embarrassing. I remember you. Yeah. You get booed.
Yeah, but he was the first. Nobody remembers his first four games. Nobody remembers that.
How many shots on goal did
he take?
He didn't
have much to do. And it doesn't matter when you commit an error like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's 2-1. You're not playing well, but you're still in it. Maybe Malik Tillman pulls some magic out of his backside again and you tie it or whatever. Instead, you kill off the game because you kick the ground 2 feet behind the ball and then panic, and then it's over.
Yeah. And it's not like you were good anyway. Right. You didn't stop any of the headers.
And he wasn't great anyway.
You got beat. Yeah, he wasn't good. Yeah. And you weren't challenged. They weren't really challenged up to that point. As soon as he was, he stunk.
So while I'm not a booer,
I
feel bad, but we are now, at least in the immediate aftermath of the World Cup, a proper soccer player.
That is what happens in other countries.
Or worse. If you pull that missing the ball thing, you're going to get destroyed. Give up a 4 spot to Belgium? Damn. I mean, yes, you're gonna get killed.
And don't try to play.
Oh, it was pointed out. It's not only Cam Smith that we got. We got Paredes and we got Wesneski too. So it's not just Cam Smith that we got for Kyle Tucker.
Paredes not in that deal.
Yes, in that deal.
Paredes came in that deal?
Yes. Paredes, Cam Smith, and Wesneski.
Well, I don't care about Wesneski until I see something else from him.
Well, but hopefully, after injury, we'll see. Maybe he's going to be worth it. But
I regret to report that the Brinkman controversy has new life.
No.
Because Tony, our good friend Tony, Concept Mayhem, grabbed something from the stream. And for the first time, I hear two R's. We're going to break. Listen to it because he sent us everyone the clip.
Yeah, you're right. Paredes was
and you can you can be the judge since it is your voice, John. I'm telling you, for the first time, I don't know if it's a stream thing that's clipping it because I had never heard it before.
Because you and I have been checking these yesterday.
Yeah,
we hear it's a little. He chews on the O but right after he says R, but we hear R O O S.
This is the first time now I hear two R's, and I don't know. But
this is
Listen,
Laurel or Yanni?
Just listen to it, John. Maybe you hear something different. We got to go to break anyway.
All right. I think he did something with it.
Here we go.
No, listen to it during the break.
We got to talk about HR.
Oh, during the break, we're going to listen.
You guys can because we all have the clip now.
But right now, I got to talk about HRP. I can't talk about Brinkman right now. I got to talk about my peeps over at HRP. I'll talk about Brinkman a little bit later. But we'll play it. We'll play it. But HRP, okay, if I make a mistake, if I'm an employee and I make a mistake, if it's an honest mistake, then okay. If it's not good, if there's some sexual harassment going on or there's some kind of maybe even stealing from the company or whatever, you still have to be careful. You have to do it right. You have to take care of HR correctly. And you're not an HR person. You're just not. If you're looking for the best way to get that HR, to get that payroll to your company, do it with people that's what they do for a living. You don't. Whatever you do, okay? I don't know what widget you sell. I don't know what service you sell. I don't know what your business is, but you're successful. If you're growing, if you've got 15, 20, 50, 100, whatever employees, they're depending on you to make the correct decisions. They're depending on you that the bottom line is going to be great. You're looking for the best way to get the payroll, the HR, the taxes, the benefits packages. You don't do that stuff. What you do is what you do. You're looking for the best way to get it. HRP.net. We love them. They partner with us. They'll partner with you. HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, there's definitely controversy, and I'd have to see if that's edited, because that's definitely R-R-O-F. I wanted the original source, Dell, of where that came from.
Yeah, I don't.
And whether or not Tony fooled with it in any way, shape, or form.
It is a question that Lance brought to the table. We were talking about it off air. Did he edit that? Because it's the first time I, at any point listening to all the spots, that I can now agree with the listeners when they say they
heard
it.
That one definitely says R-R-O-F.
I have not heard it in anything.
And listeners have been adamant. I mean, multiple listeners have been adamant. Dell and I have listened to everyone that's in the system. And it's like, no.
Where is that? Okay.
He said he pulled it from
the
screen.
Was it tampered? I believe there's tampering involved.
Tampering. I don't know, man. It's such a departure from what we've heard. And I don't know how that comes about. How could that one be so different from all the other ones we've heard?
Yes. That's right. So I can't trust. First of all, you can't trust Tony.
Well, he's an Iowa fan. Of course you can't.
No. So there's that. And I don't, you know what, the other, that one definitely is R-R-O-F.
I don't know if we, well, Todd would know. Todd, do we have different clips for the stream as opposed to what we have going on air? Because nothing in our system sounds like
nothing
that.
Nothing in our system says that. So I can't even. I can't believe these people.
Yeah, I don't trust what. Don't trust your ears, everybody. Tony, you're untrustworthy. That's what we've come to conclude.
Yep. All right. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, but yeah, that one is definitely RR. That one is definitely RR. And I believe that Tony has fudged with it. Yeah. Again, in this world, you can't trust your eyes, you can't trust your ears, you can't trust anything.
You can't trust your friends.
You can't trust, and Tony is, he's quite possibly an enemy of the show.
Yeah. From time to time, he seems to take issue with mm-hmm. the show and how we talk about certain, particularly college football teams.
Well, especially when we talk about Iowa State.
Yeah, he never likes in any way, shape, or form.
It feels like he has some kind of revenge for how positive we've been about Iowa State in the past.
He can't take it. Nebraska, he certainly won't accept either.
No.
But Iowa State is at the top, and because his Hawkeyes went on a run in the tournament, he was his worst self, I would say.
Yeah. Well, so I can't trust him. We can't trust him. But there might be a different one. And Michael Carroll let that slip?
See, this is another reason I question the authenticity. We got Michael Carroll as the barrier, as he stands in the breach.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know how this came about.
He holds a door.
Yeah. Well, that didn't go well for that guy. I don't want to call him that. That went poorly at the end.
Oh, actually, it did.
What is he referencing?
That went very poorly.
Yeah. Well, but he does. He let me escape. Okay. He let that R escape.
Okay. I don't know how it came about. We're asking the important questions now, though, and some listeners now feel vindicated.
Yeah, well, I don't care about them.
I know.
So, RoFlo joining us in about 20 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5. I don't know why my timeline just came down with, before the season starts, will CJ get his extension? The answer is no. The answer is no, okay? That's a wait, and there's another wait and see, although he's not a lame duck quarterback like Dana Brown and Joe Espada are lame duck. He's not lame duck. But this is, I mean, you want to talk about. Now, he did an interview with Ian Rappaport, and he said to the effect, I've held up my bargain, he said. She's supposed to say my end of the bargain. But his quote was, I've held up my bargain. And, you know, so far regular season, I think you could say that. He's not going to be one of the – if you go by his regular season, just forget the playoffs. Forget the playoffs. You can't forget the fact that they make the playoffs and they win a playoff game every year. But if you go by his regular season, CJ is a middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Upper echelon.
It's just an average.
Lower – a quarterback? No, he's a middle of the pack quarterback.
I think he's an average NFL starter.
Yeah, for a playoff team.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Not somebody who's going to lead you to victory with his level of play. We have not seen that really. I mean, we saw a pretty good second half against the Chargers in that one game. But let's face it, the defense absolutely obliterated Justin Herbert. So we know. I mean, CJ hasn't to get paid the money that his side is looking for, he has not performed to that level yet. He still has really 2 years, if you really want to be honest. He has this year, then he has a fifth-year option. Then, frankly, he could end up could have 3 years, because the Texans, if he doesn't play great, you could see them put him on a franchise as well. Now, here's why I'm feeling like that's kind of unlikely, even though that might be the best course of action for the Texans if they're not completely all in on this. Every year you wait, the price for quarterbacks goes up every single year you wait. But also, when people think like that, agents just sit and chirp and yell and scream until they get redone deals. After they've done a deal, they're not going to let the deal go out. If they feel like the number's going up, they want a rework deal. But David Mulgeta, his agent, I can't really envision a world where David Mulgeta doesn't create a huge distraction if C.J. Stroud is put on a franchise tag after the next 2 years. If he doesn't get an extension after this year, there's going to be a lot of public chirping from Mulgeta. And I don't know who Mulgeta – I mean, Ryan Clark's a Mulgeta client. He's not on ESPN. He may land somewhere else. But I don't know. There will be chirping if C.J. Stroud doesn't get a contract extension after this year, regardless of how he plays. There are just people who just want you to give the bag to C.J. and that's that. They don't have really have any – there's really no connection there. They just do. If you want him to earn the level of money he's going to demand – $55 to $60 million, the Texans probably want to see a certain level of play. Not just team success, which is more heavily weighted towards the defense. They're going to see a certain level of play. And if he doesn't do that, okay, well, that's fine. We got fifth year. We're going to let him play at the fifth year. And then we're either going to get a deal done after the fifth year or we're going to franchise him in the sixth year because we're not going to let him walk. Or they could decide to trade him in the fifth year. But we know that trading – C.J. Stroud is highly unlikely because teams just panic. Like you thought it's hard to trade Yordan Alvarez, who would bring you a ton of prospects back. It's really hard for teams to trade a quarterback because they're just terrified of the unknown. If he gets to franchise tag level, John, if he's with the Houston Texans for three more years without an extension, three seasons, and I'm including this season where he's not getting an extension, oh my gosh, it is just there's just no way Mulgeta is going to be okay with that. There's just no way.
Well, I can't trust Mulgeta anyway. Since Deshaun signed his contract, he never played another game.
Right, so, but I think I mean, if you're being honest, I haven't seen that with any other player. That was a Deshaun thing. There's no question. But that was kind of a perfect storm. I'm really worried that there was.
He did it with Jalen Ramsey too.
No, he didn't sign a contract.
He had plenty of contract left when he said, "I ain't playing here no more."
Did he have a lot of contract left?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Deshaun's didn't even play on that contract.
Not even a down.
Deshaun didn't play a down on that contract, but he got all of his signing bonus. It almost felt like a con. I mean, I was worried about was this a con that was set up from the beginning because DeAndre Hopkins was gone. So the argument about DeAndre Hopkins, he didn't have DeAndre Hopkins when he signed his deal and cried on the Zoom because we had COVID, because he was so happy that this moment had happened and his family was happening and he thanked the Texans. But, I couldn't help with after the way that thing went down and he knew DeAndre Hopkins wasn't there anymore. It just really bothered me that it felt like, because he did play that year. But it really did feel like, man, was this part of a con that they were always going to take that and he could say, well, I'll get you out of here if things don't go well and I can get you out of here and we can get a brand new deal somewhere. Like, that's what really bothered me is that Mulgeta might have done that. I hope that's not what he did because that's one of the scummiest things that would have ever been perpetrated if you just stole a signing bonus from a team. But because the Texans didn't claw any of it back from what I remember. They didn't get any of the signing bonus back. He actually didn't technically not live up to his contract. They didn't have to pay him when he wasn't there, but he came in and was part of a shut-in. Remember that? He'd just show up at practice and then mean mug everyone who tried to have camera, try to take a picture of him or talk to him. Right, 803 here. We got to break it right now. It's 803 here on ESPN 97.5. When we come back, I do want to get to we need to set up what's going on with the Astros because this is a big series with the White Sox. I mean, in a way, it's a big series.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.